This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I always keep Kinsa in my arsenal of mom tools. I'll tell you why. It remembers my daughter's temperature, symptoms, and medications, so I don't have to. And it keeps her entertained with games while we wait. Check it out at kinsahealth.com.
Hello, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 39 of Motherhood in Hollywood. It's me, Heather, and we have a great show today, you guys. Keiko Elizabeth is going to be on the show. She is an actor and a mama here in Hollywood, and she has a really interesting story, and I was so excited to talk to her because she is a teacher, or used to be a teacher, I should say, in inner city schools in the Oakland area with like kids with special needs and like, I don't know, can I say juvenile delinquents? I'm gonna. Keiko's not here. I can say it. She has a really incredible story about how she went from being a teacher in the Oakland area to now being an actress. And she is following her dreams and being a mama at the same time. And that's what we love here at Motherhood in Hollywood. So I'm so excited for you to hear from her. What else do I want to talk about? Let's see. I have my little list here because sometimes, you guys, I record this intro and then like a day or two later, once I've already sort of like posted it and done all of this stuff, I'll go, oh man, I really should have talked about that. Sometimes my brain is not all there. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're just tired to the bone and forget things. So I want to start by going over to the Twitter really quick and giving a few thank yous to some of the people over there. Thank you to Heather and Aaron at Sitternote for all your encouraging words and tweets. I really appreciate you guys listening and supporting the show. Also, Olivia M. Howell, thank you so much for your kind tweets and support of the show. It really means a lot to me. Honestly, if anybody is following me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, I see your messages and I appreciate it so much. I've said it before and I'll say it again. As a mom who is stepping far outside my comfort zone and trying something new and trying to create something out of nothing, this is really hard. And I'm not going to cry. This is really hard. So every time you get a note or a message from somebody or an email from somebody who says, hey, I really like what you're doing, or this really resonates with me and I appreciate it, it's just like being bowled over with kindness every time. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. What else do I want to talk about? I want to talk about Channing's birthday. Ooh, I'm so excited. Her birthday's coming up on April 5th, and we decided we're going to do Disneyland. Now, she's been to Disneyland before a few times, but you know, she's older now. She's going to be a big 3-year-old, my big girl. I can't even believe it. And I want to take her for more than just a few hours, because usually when we go, we can only go for like a day. And for those of you who are Disneyland fans, you know, especially if you live here in Southern California, you know you need more than just like 4 or 5 hours, or, you know, even sometimes a day. So we're going to go for 2 days. We're going to stay overnight and get up early on her birthday and have a character breakfast. Have you heard of this? Apparently, you can go to one of the restaurants. There's a few restaurants around the park and in the hotels where you can have breakfast with like Mickey and Minnie and the princesses and, you know, whoever I guess is available that day. I am so excited. She is going to be in heaven because, first of all, she's a big breakfast eater. That's the one meal a day. I know she's going to eat everything. But then also get to eat breakfast with Mickey and Minnie on top of it. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to see the look on her face. And personally, I don't know about you, but I just really love Disneyland. There's something very magical about that place. Even with the tens of thousands of people they see every day, it's feels very intimate. I mean, unless you're waiting in line for the Peter Pan ride for like an hour, then it's like, oh my God, get the F out of here. But if we go on like an off day, it doesn't feel, off season day, it doesn't feel quite so crowded. And, you know, all the food is delicious and the music is playing and it's just a lot of fun. And I can't wait to go with her. My husband is actually taking a couple days off work. So we're going to get to go down there as a family, and that will be very special, very sweet. So I'm looking forward to that. What do you guys do for a third birthday? Does anybody else have any ideas? Do you do cake at home and like theme stuff? I decided I'm not really going to do that this year because quite honestly, it's too much work. The past 2 years for her birthday, I've done like huge parties and huge celebrations at the house. And I always end up going a little overboard. I don't know how you are with your partying, but I have to have everything themed and I get obsessed with like Pinteresting and I'm like, oh, I've got to make carrots out of cellophane and goldfish. And I mean, oh my God, I'm embarrassingly nuts about it. But that being said, I do enjoy it. I just never feel like I get to enjoy the actual birthday and spending time with her, which, you know, is the point, to celebrate their day, right? So this year we're going to forego the big party and just go to Disney as a fam. So there's that. A couple of things to look out for. I got to, I was interviewed by this really awesome blogger here in LA. Her blog is called Bottle Poppin' Mama, which is awesome. So be on the lookout for that because she's going to do a special feature piece on motherhood in Hollywood, in particular, moi. And also coming up on April 9th, Spring Fest is happening here in Los Angeles. If you want to go to Facebook and look up Spring Fest or Google, it's from mom.me and Club Mommy from my friend Rachel Pitzel. If you guys want to go to that, that is her event and it's a lot of fun. So definitely go and look for that because I'm going to go there. If you want to come by and say hello, I'd like to meet ya. But don't be stalkery and weird about it. Okay, fans, get in line. Oh, I'm such an asshole. Anyway, can we talk about pilot season for just a second? All of you actors out there, producers, casting directors, whoever's listening, I have had probably like the most pitiful pilot season I've ever had since moving to LA. And it is frustrating. It makes me sad. It makes me start really questioning, like, what am I doing here? Why am I in this business? And I don't know what to do about it. Does anybody else, do you all go through those moments of self-doubt and questioning, why am I here? Did I make the right choice in my career? Because it seems like everybody is going out for pilots and getting all these guest star parts. And, you know, I'm not. And in fact, I haven't had an audition in a few weeks. And so you start to feel a little down in the dumps as an actor, and when it's your dream and it's your career and it's what you want to do, you feel so helpless. That's the thing that bothers me, is that I feel so helpless. I'm so used to being able to be like, you know what, I'm going to take control of this situation and go after it and go get something done. And I feel like I can't do that with a pilot. You know, I can't call up a producer and go, hey, why don't you just give me this part? I'm amazing. No, take my word for it, or Google me, you know. Wouldn't it be great if all jobs worked that way? So I understand, you know, it's just not the nature of the beast that is entertainment. So we just keep trudging on. But man, it just wears on my heart and my soul after a while. And you just start questioning and hoping you're doing the right thing. Am I right? Anybody else? Can I get an amen? What? So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I'm trying to be positive though. Don't worry. I'm not like slitting my wrist or anything yet, but it could happen. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up my mommy monologue because I really want you guys to meet Keiko and get to know her a little bit better. So here is my interview with Keiko Elizabeth, where we're talking about diversity in Hollywood, parenting, auditioning, all of the fun stuff that we love to talk about here in Motherhood in Hollywood.
Is really Asian, but you're really not, so you should change your name. What conversation do you mean? And so I just use my first and middle to kind of like try to pull back on the
wait, what? Okay, so we're talking here with my friend Keiko Elizabeth. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're telling me people said that you didn't look Asian?
Well, I'm mixed race, so yeah. I have a bunch of different things in my DNA, but But my name is my grandmother's name on my dad's side. It's very it's like Hazel for Japanese people. Yeah. It's like really traditional.
Yeah, and it's Keiko, right?
Mm-hmm, Keiko. And coupled with my last name, which was my dad's name, which because I didn't was just telling Heather that I didn't take my husband's name. It just was really – so my friends were like – not all of my friends. One of my friends, actually, who's Chinese-American himself. He was like, yeah, you don't look Asian enough to pull off your name, basically.
Like, oh, no. And are you like – yay? I mean, what is the response to that? Or, like in Hollywood where diversity is so big right now, I would think that there would be a part of you that's like, oh, no, I really want, you know, to look more Asian.
I know. Well, and it's funny because I actually don't book that many mom parts because they're like, whose kid could look like her? You know what I mean?
You know, it's so funny whenever I go into an audition when I have to be paired up with a kid and I see the ginger kid, the redheaded kid sitting there, and I'm like, you better step it up, buddy, because I'm not going to get this if you're not good. Right. Because I know where they're going with this.
Yes.
So what were you going to say?
Yeah. No, just the first gig I ever booked on TV, I read for the part of a mom who's like, reunited with her child after some big disaster. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, that was really good. Could you be the mom? The girl I'm casting, her last name is Nguyen. Do you think you could be her mom? And it was obviously a Vietnamese girl who they had cast. Oh. And they wanted to know if I could, like, and I was
Nguyen?
Like,
what? Is it Nguyen?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like,
casting
what?
Director.
Oh.
Didn't
look at me. I know Vietnamese names.
And I didn't get it. I booked a different mom. They hired me to play a mom where you never see the kid. And
I was wondering if that would be a challenge because for diverse actors right now, everybody, it seems to be like, you know, oh, we want diversity. We want
totally.
This. And people with mixed ethnicities, at least I'm reading online, are in demand because then you could play all of these different types. But you're saying that's not been your experience.
Well, you know, I think it just depends. Like, yeah. I generally play, like, if they want somebody who, like, gives us an ethnic flavor, but not, like, you know.
right.
But not somebody super specifically, like, Korean-American type
of thing, you know. I see. Well, they don't want to commit too much.
Too much.
It's like, are you watching that Aziz Ansari show? Have you seen his new show called Master of None?
When they're talking
about how they're like, we can't have two Indian guys on the same show. Like, oh my God, no one would watch it.
Oh my God, so good.
It's like the same, I think, with every ethnicity because it's like, oh, we can't have two black guys, two, you know, Asian Americans, whatever. And people are like, no, we're not.
Were you following the whole Bachelorette conversation yesterday? I think
no.
It was like just really recently they were considering the Hapa girl.
Yes.
Which is the word for half Asian lady.
What is it? Hapa?
Hapa, yeah.
Okay.
To be the new Bachelorette. And they so everyone was like, oh, this is the most diversity they can have on The Bachelor is like half of a person.
This is what a nerd I am. I only know about that conversation because I was listening to NPR in my car and they did like a whole like 4-minute piece on the diversity issues in The Bachelor.
Oh my gosh. I know somebody who was on that segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I know her through Twitter.
Oh, okay. Through Twitter. they did like this whole segment about how The Bachelor has come close to having a diverse, but then all of the women of color are voted off early or like not given a rose, whatever it is, early on. I'm not a Bachelor fan at
Me
all.
Me either.
Admittedly, I have not
watched it in years. I did watch like the first season.
Mm-hmm. Just to see what it's all about.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally. And I haven't.
It's been on for like 10 years now.
It's like,
I don't understand.
It's like the Cheers of reality television.
It really is. Or like, what's the other one? Survivor?
Oh, yeah.
That's been on for
that show has been like 22 years, and I don't know, not
how
that
many
long,
more bugs can we see people eat? Like this year, they showed somebody with an earworm, like a worm crawling in this woman's ear,
horrible.
And the camera people are like, "Man, we're not going to let her know. We're just going to zoom in on it
and just
show you a little bit." I mean, I don't know. No, I guess it would be nice to be rich, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself through that kind of torture and pain. It's not worth it to me.
I do not. No,
you know, I'm not really an adventurer.
It's enough that I take my kid on their school camping trip every year.
You do?
I'm like,
good for you.
Well, we've only done it once so far.
Yeah.
But every May, we go mm-hmm. and we borrow a tent from somebody because Lord knows we don't own a tent.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you're not outdoorsy.
Not so much.
Me neither. No.
You know,
the outside is for animals and bugs and not people.
I appreciate. I mean, it's sure. beautiful mm-hmm. and I'm in favor of nature being preserved mm-hmm. and stuff. But
I'm not. Yeah. There's the trend in glamping.
Oh, you know, like I've heard of that.
Glamorous camping.
I could possibly try that.
Yeah. If it was like, I think I saw some pictures, though. It was like, that's just a mobile home that you just parked in a forest.
So it's not like a spa in the middle of nature.
Right, right. It's like some people pull up like those metal, you know, old-timey
like an Airstream type
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Mm, and they mm-hmm, set it up with their hair dryers and potty and all that. So it's like they're camping, but not really.
Not.
Mm. No, thank you. I'd rather just...
I'm willing to try anything once.
Yeah? Oh, good for you.
And then if it doesn't work yeah. for me, then...
You tried it.
I tried it.
And you have a great story to tell.
That's right.
Yeah. So you didn't... Hold on, before we jump on it, I'm going to close these blinds. They're driving me crazy. Because there's like a lovely like glow behind you.
Oh. Oh, you can see my aura.
There we go. Just a little bit. All right. And you know what? You will not even hear that in the final edit. You,
that's
no one
amazing.
Will even know.
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post. So I want to ask you about, you are an actress and a mom.
An actress and a mom.
But you did not originally start out wanting to be an actor.
Mm-mm.
Right? So
nope.
why the sudden change?
You know, I think maybe secretly I did.
Mm-hmm.
But
was there always a side of you that was really like wanting attention or wanting
maybe
to perform?
Maybe it was that or just... Like, I always was really good at telling stories, and I would be the one who would be like, and then they did this, and then it was like, bad, it was like this. But that was just not really ever part of the scene when I was growing up. Like,
yeah.
I grew up in Northern California. There was not – my family – we didn't go to the theater. We didn't – there wasn't drama camps. There wasn't
right.
– it just wasn't really part of my experience as a child. And then – you know, I thought I was supposed to be a doctor, so let me just go be a doctor. And, but then more people that I knew, like somebody that I knew from undergrad, like she started working as an actress while she was working at Oracle. She was like a consultant at Oracle and doing shows at night. And then somebody else that I was teaching with, like, quit her teaching job and went to study at the Stella Adler Conservatory in New York. And I was like, oh my God. People do
you
this?
You can do that?
Like, people do that in the middle of their life? Like, what you decide when you're 20 doesn't have to be it forever?
Yeah, yeah.
So I, like, my first show I ever did was The Wizard of Oz.
What did you play?
I was in the ensemble, so I did everything. I was a tree.
Oh,
I was like got to wear a green wig, and I got to just do a little bit of everything, and I thought that it was amazing.
Well, I was going to say, did you get bit then? Were you like, this is a life?
Yeah.
I
would walk into rehearsal and be like, I can't believe I'm here. This is so, like I'm standing on a stage.
Yeah. That's so cool. You know so that silly. You have a love for it if that's the feeling that you get a little tingly whenever you get to perform. I think that's something special with actors that they get it. You know, like the people who are truly actors and they're not here to be famous or reality stars or whatever, like the people who want to be actors, they get tingly when they get to play a tree. You know, like,
know.
It's like, yay, I get to be the best
tree. I get
tree.
To wear a green wig. This is amazing.
Yeah. There's just something magical about it.
Yeah.
So then eventually, how did you, because you were a teacher, was it for special needs? Is that what I read?
Or? Yeah. Well, I was a teacher, I guess you would call it like at a low income school, at a Title I school. I worked in Oakland and I worked in San Francisco with kids coming out of juvenile hall. Mm-hmm. So they were special needs in that they had a lot of behavior challenges.
Sure.
They were the tough kids.
Oh, dear.
The ones that steal your car and all that kind of stuff.
Did anyone steal your
yes.
car? Shut
I
up.
I swear to God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
What? How does that even happen? Like, I'm
dumb dumb me comes in and I drop my keys on my desk and
you're not the dumb dumb there.
And then somebody comes in. Well, we would take security precautions, let's just say that, because they were all transitioning out of juvenile hall. They all were coming to this. It was a special arts-based school that was an alternative for whatever other school they would get to go to. And so one of them grabbed my keys and I guess two of them took off in my car. Well, it's kind of funny because I have always driven a stick. Uh-huh. And so they were like, they get in and they're like,
That's awesome. They're like, what do I do?
And they got arrested like 20 minutes later, clunking along in their neighborhood.
Oh my gosh. You know what? They probably thought it was like hydraulics or something. Like they were had a pimp ride was bouncing up and down or something. They were probably like, yeah, this car came with its own bounce.
Yeah. And the worst was like, I mean, when they get arrested, like our school was the one that they would go to. Yeah. So he came right back the next day. And he was like in his little timeout space or whatever. And he's like, Keiko, hey, so I left some fireworks in your car yesterday.
Shut up.
Do you think I could get those back? I was speechless. I like to think that a witty comeback, that's not true. I never have the witty comeback. Me but neither. in this
10
moment,
minutes later, maybe.
I literally had no words. I was like,
oh my gosh.
No.
Did you find the fireworks?
I did, yeah. I think we lit them off on the roof of my apartment building.
Good for you. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That, honestly, I think takes a certain type of person and a certain type of patience for someone who wants to work in a school like that, that is so troubled and has so many problems. Do you think that that's sort of, just from your education background, do you think that that's kind of indicative of what a lot of schools are like in inner city schools? Because I got to be honest, I'm terrified of LAUSD.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me sad to say. I mean, that was a very specific population, probably right. like the toughest population. But a lot of those kids did go back into public schools and fell through the cracks. And I did work in regular public. I've worked the whole spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
In my short four-year teaching career. but sad to say, there are a lot of schools like that.
Yeah.
Like my first year teaching, I worked in a really big public school in Oakland, and I was like, this is what was that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer back in the day where they're like throwing
not Stand and Deliver, that's a different one. What is that movie? Was it Michelle Pfeiffer? Was it Lou Gossett Jr.?
Oh god,
hang on. If
it's
only
like
we had access
super
to
catchy
the internet
song that
I'll
save you by singing. Anyway, it was like exactly like that, like people throwing paper airplanes. I mean, the stories that I would hear are horrifying.
Let me see. Michelle Pfeiffer school movie. My husband gets so frustrated with me when I don't know the name. Dangerous Minds?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
He gets so frustrated where he's like, literally will be yelling during my podcast, why don't you know the name of this movie? You work in entertainment. And I'm like, because I'm a mom now. Things have fallen out of my head. But yeah, that's what I imagine that it's probably like. And I'm terrified of LAUSD, and like I know there's a lot of kids that go there, but I just don't feel like it's very safe. And I don't know. I'm always reading about education. I used to be many years ago before I decided to become an actor. I was
a reporter. I saw that you were.
Yeah.
You had a second life.
I had a second life. And I was an entertainment reporter.
Cool.
Or reporter. Yeah, not entertainment. Education reporter. Oh. Hello. Projecting something there. But I was an education reporter, and I was in Topeka, Kansas. And I covered a lot of the Brown versus School Board of Education, Supreme Court stuff. Like, they were just getting ready to come out of their restrictions from the Supreme Court when I was
there.
Oh
my God. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You look really good for your
age. No, thanks.
Yeah. Wasn't that like in the 50s?
I was there when it was first implemented. No. They were about to complete their.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And I left right before like it was finally all the restrictions were lifted and all of that. So education has always been sort of interesting to me, even though I didn't have kids and, you know, at the time. But the more I read about the public school system today, the more I'm interested in private schools, but I don't have the budget for private schools as an actor, you know? So it's like, what do you do? What are your alternatives for your kids' education? Charter schools? I mean,
I don't have the answer for you.
Why don't you have all the answers?
When you become a parent, your view of like schools is like when I was in my early 20s teaching, I was like, if I have a kid, I would totally send them to my school, you know, because I'm there. And if these kids go, my kid should be able to go.
Right,
like,
right.
Why wouldn't I? I'm teaching here. And now I'm just like, no.
No way.
No.
Yeah. What do you do where do your kids go? You don't have to tell me the name of the school, but do they go to?
No, truthfully, I live in Orange County.
Oh, so they go to a good school.
They go to a good public school.
So and you don't have to worry about it.
You know, we had considered moving in, and
yeah.
That was one of the big reasons why.
Yeah, so you drive up for auditions and stuff from Orange County?
I do.
Whoa.
Girl, that time in my car is the best time.
Is it?
Oh my God, it's quiet. Yeah. I listen to my podcast.
Yay! Motherhood in Hollywood. Oh, I can imagine that would be nice and peaceful.
Yeah.
And you have two kids?
I do.
Wow. And how old are they?
My son is 7. He just turned 7. Mm-hmm. And my baby girl is 18 months.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Do you ever take her with you? I know that I've seen in your Facebook group, you have a great Facebook group, talking about moms needing resources and backup and help and babysitting services when you have auditions.
It is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like to take her with me. Right. Just for my own, like, I have a hard time separate, you know, like the focus that's really required is hard for me to do when half my head is in the hallway.
Yeah.
I mean, for commercials, it's easier. I don't know. It's just easier.
Hello, I want to tell you a little more about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. I'll tell you what, guys, parents trust it and kids love it because it's designed to be the number one tool to give parents peace of mind. Because Kinsa remembers temperature, symptoms, and medication and gives you guidance on what to do next if your little one isn't feeling well. If you haven't checked out Kinsa yet, do that. As soon as you're done listening to my podcast, go to kinsahealth.com. Kinsa is the world's smartest thermometer. I think there's less pressure because commercials feel like such a cattle call.
Yeah,
there's,
maybe that's
I mean, there's
it.
Hundreds of people there. You know, I don't, for me mentally, I'm like, I know I'm not going to get this, so I'm taking my kid.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to pay $50 for a babysitter to drive to Santa Monica, you know.
Totally.
So I think for me, it's more of a mindset and I'm like, meh. But theatrically, it's hard for sure. I had to take her yesterday, as a matter of fact, and she was great. She was chilling. She's very excited now. She's like, we go to audition? Like, she knows it.
What do you do? Do you give her, like, an iPad or do you leave her with somebody in the waiting room?
No. I will usually, like, prepare a snack before we go. Okay. And then she'll go, can I have a snack? And I'm like, when we get to audition. And she'll go, ooh, okay. So she has something to look forward to when we sit in the waiting room. Then she gets her snack and she can sit there and eat it. And then she just walks in with me, sits down on the chair, keeps eating her snack.
Oh, wow.
And then
that's
she's
amazing.
Like, bye. And we walk out. So, I mean, I took her to my first audition when she was probably like 9 months old, maybe 8 months old. So she's pretty familiar with it.
Okay.
I also don't like to do it, though, just because, like you said, it's a mindset thing for me. Because then I'm like, is she okay? Am I okay? But I will say I've booked jobs on auditions that she's brought me. And
that's
so I'm
awesome.
Like, okay, maybe
so encouraging.
It's not so bad.
Yeah.
You also have to feel out the office, like if they are, I don't usually take her if it's an office I've never been into before. Mm-hmm. I really try not to do that because I don't want to be like, hi, nice to meet you. Here's my kid, you know?
Yeah.
But, I try to get a babysitter when I can, but it's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally. Do you, what was I going to ask you? Oh, did you feel like there was like that? Cause how old is your daughter? She's 3.
She's
now,
almost
right?
3. Yeah.
Okay. Because my daughter's like at the point where she doesn't, I mean, she's 18, she can walk, she's destructive, she doesn't really like care about an iPad or really,
oh, really?
Anything that will keep her sitting still. Like, she's really hard to, feel like it's a tough age.
It is a tough age, for sure. And it's, I don't know, I think it just depends on the temperament of the child and the casting office. If it's... There's only been, I would say, one casting office that I got a little shade from when I had to bring her. But I literally, my babysitter canceled. I had one scheduled and she canceled on me like an hour before. And I was
mother
trucker. So I had to take her and the casting director was like, this seems to be a trend now. And I was like, what's that? And she's like, people bringing their kids to auditions. And I was like, okay. I was like, I've never brought her here before. I'm so sorry. You know, it was a last minute thing. And then Channing sat down and was like perfectly fine. And awesome. Literally as we walk out, she goes, good job, mommy. And I was like, thank you. And
so
I was like,
cute.
I almost like burst into tears, but I was like, keep it together. Because I was like, you know what? F all the auditions in the world. Like if my daughter is like, good job, mommy.
Yes.
That's the best.
Totally.
I'm totally going to cry thinking about it. No, I'm
no,
not.
That's so
no, I have no emotion. So I would say it's possible, but I think it just depends on like the temperament of your child and the casting office, really. So can you distract her with like snacks?
Maybe.
Bribe her with food?
I don't know.
We'll it's see. Up to you. I mean, if mentally you don't want to like even risk it or like, you know, compromise your audition. I'm always worried that she's going to interrupt the other actors in the room. Mm. Most everybody has been really sweet about it. Like, oh, a baby, because I found a lot of actors don't have kids. So they're like, oh, a baby. And, you know, they'll watch her either while I go in the room, although I don't really like doing that. Or,
I remember the first time I did that, my husband was like, he's not an actor. And he was like, so you're going to take her and leave her with a total stranger while you go in the next room for 5 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm all, well, realistically, less than 5 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes if I'm lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Seconds, woohoo, but, that's a redirect.
But basically,
there.
Yes. Yeah. That's my plan. And he was like, so horrified.
Mm.
You can't believe I was going to do it. But
there's
it's
something
always worked
about
out.
The actor community, though,
totally.
That. I don't know that I would do that if I had like an office job interview, you right. know, I think, but actors are so communal by nature and, yeah. you know, I don't want to stereotype everybody because there has been some people that are like, you brought your baby to an audition. How annoying. But for the most part, everyone's like, oh, yay. Yeah. I'll watch it for you while you go in. That's been really nice.
Yeah.
Are you having any more kids? Are you done?
No, we're done. We were one and done for a while. That's why our kids are so far apart.
Yeah.
And then we weren't. So.
Surprise!
No, she wasn't a surprise. She was just, it took a while for me to feel like I wanted that experience again.
How have you found that your acting career compares to your teaching?
Oh my God. Totally different. I mean, completely different. It's funny because at first I was like, oh, there's a lot of like, transferable skills, you know, you're sort of like talking in front of people and there's that element of being comfortable with that, but it's totally different. I mean, just it's actually way more like parenting, I think, like just how you have to really go with the flow and give up attachment to the result of something and yet still give your all.
Right.
Do
you feel like you made the right choice? Are you happy now?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Because I know that's a big leap of faith for people who, because I didn't start acting until later in life either. And I say later in life, like we're 70 or something,
know.
You know, but you know what I mean? For LA, for Hollywood, anyone over 12 is like, if they get started after that, that's later in life.
Yeah.
My agent told me a few months ago that she has kids on her roster that are like 8 or 9 years old. The casting directors are like, we're not going to book him on this pilot because they don't have enough credits. And she's like, he's 8. Like, well, how many credits does he need?
I know.
You know?
It's crazy.
So she's like, what's happening is all these Vine stars and YouTube stars are coming up, like, doing their makeup tutorials or crazy videos or whatever.
Wow.
And becoming huge sensations in their tweens. And then they're in demand for, like, the new Disney shows, you know,
God.
Stuff like that.
I'm just so glad that I'm really grateful for, like, my childhood and
experiences
that I had and, you know, like.
Especially when you see famous people who seem to be sort of spiraling down and who've been in the industry for so long. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, you have everything, every opportunity. And they're not.
I mean, even like dear friends of mine who have been acting since they were children who aren't like, you know, super famous now. There's this attachment. Like, I don't know. It seems like their whole identity.
Yeah.
Is that.
Yeah. Do you worry that your kid, well, you're in Orange County, so do you think that your kids will grow up sort of in the Hollywood scene, or do you think that they'll be far enough removed from that they
won't
be affected?
Yeah, it's way farther removed than I thought when we first moved there.
Yeah,
That's for sure. I was like, we're moving to LA. No.
No.
It's totally.
Yeah, Orange County is definitely different.
Yeah. So, you know, and my son does not really show. Like, he thinks it's fun. They do plays in his class. But I don't think he's going to want to
have any interest in it or be involved in it anyway. That's interesting.
Yeah.
My daughter is, Channing is always like, we got to do a podcast. I'm going to go do my podcast now. And she'll sit in her room, her playroom, her, like, cashier, you know, thing. Like, be punching the numbers and go, I'm doing a podcast. And I'm like, you're not. Really doing a
that
podcast.
So cute.
But she does like to come in here sometimes and do this. She's a ham, but she also has moments of shyness that may just be her age, but she's definitely a ham sauce. So I'm so excited every day to be like, what is she going to be?
I know.
It's so, so cool to watch them like develop and get excited about things or show interest in things. Because then I'm like, for like a hot minute, she was into her binoculars. And I was like, oh, she's going to be some kind of like scientist, you know, and like probably not.
Yeah, you can just and you never know. I feel and it's fun to see like what stays the same about their personality over the years and then how they develop differently.
Yeah. So. Well, her high spiritedness is definitely the same.
Yeah.
She has big feelings, as our mommy and me instructor told us. And I'm like,
I love that.
Okay. That means she's kind of a drama queen is what that means. Still there.
I
still
love
happening.
That. Big feelings.
Big feelings. It's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
So did I see that you recently booked something with a movie or?
I did. I haven't shot it yet. Mm-hmm. My first sort of like feature. Mm-hmm. I've done television. So, yeah, I'm excited.
That's awesome. Fun. Can you talk about it or is it like
a deal? I
don't know.
I didn't sign anything. What do you think?
I don't know. Well, it's on your website.
It is on my website.
So you can at least say that part.
Yeah. It's a small, small supporting role.
It's okay, though. There are no, what is it? There are no small parts,
only small,
actors.
Actors.
Right. So, and I'm a character actor. I literally am lucky if I get one line on something every now and then. So I'm like, woohoo.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. So I shoot later this month. It's J.K. Simmons' new film, The Bachelors.
Nice.
And my scene is with J.K. Simmons.
Oh, my gosh. How fun.
I know. It's going to be really fun. So.
He seems like he would just be really cool. He's probably been around Hollywood forever, knows the ropes.
I can imagine the same thing.
Yeah. And I hope that's what happens.
Please tell me too.
If he's not, because I will tweet that shit. And be like, he's a total jerk to my friend.
I will be so sad.
I know. I'd be sad, too.
I'd be really sad.
Whenever you meet somebody that you've, like, admired for so long and then you meet them and they're like a total jerk, you're like, oh,
it's really I know, because also I feel like he's worked so much able to really like avoid that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I wonder what like that is, why some actors thing? Can avoid that celebrity thing.
You know what I'm talking about. I don't know how to describe it,
the limelight.
Yeah, like
the tabloids.
Yeah, yes,
I think it's I think it's there are actors who seek it out. Like I remember reading that in the early stages, and probably still, the Kardashians will tip off the paparazzi of where they're going to be. That's why they always happen to be there when they arrive.
How did they know?
How would they possibly know? I mean, you're driving around all over the place. There's no way the paparazzi would know where you're going to be unless you tell them.
Yeah.
So they, for years,
totally
have sort
didn't of think about that.
Yeah. They, for years, have tipped him off. Like, Paris Hilton would always tip off the paparazzi of where she was going
to be. I have not heard anything about her lately.
I know. What's up with that? She's sort of disappeared. She needs to start doing some nude selfies, like, if she wants to get back in the limelight.
Because that's apparently the thing.
It is the thing. Like, I was telling you earlier, like, I don't understand this fascination with just taking nudie pictures of yourself and putting it online. It's not my thing. I mean, I guess.
Not my thing either, but.
You know. I'm torn because it's like, on one hand, you want to be like, good for you, lady. Like, if you've got the body to do it, like, be proud of your body. But also it's like, oh, you're a mom. I'm talking about Kim Kardashian specifically, but like, you're a mom and I don't know. We don't really need to see all that. We get it. We've seen it before. Why? And it's, I can't help thinking she's not doing it to make a feminist statement about this is my body and I'm proud.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that, does it?
No, it's to be like, look at me. I know. And then Sharon Osbourne did a,
I didn't hear about that.
Did one too. Yeah. She was like in support of Kim Kardashian and she totally did a similar.
We
like,
all know that Kim Kardashian is really the underdog here.
I know. Right. And I just kept thinking, why everyone's hating on her obviously for doing that, but why? Like she could do so much more with all of the power and the platform that she has, but she just posts naked pictures of herself and pictures.
Now, are they really selfies? Like, because I'm like, how do you get a good angle?
Well, she takes it in front of a mirror.
Oh.
She stands in front of a mirror and does it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like then the next day you're posting videos with your daughter and I don't know. People say, oh, you want them to be proud of their bodies and have a good body image. But I don't know.
Yeah, what's the line?
Yeah, where do you... I think you could still be confident in your body without having to be naked all the time. But I'm also just really a modest person and don't want to be naked all the time. So,
and then there was like, do you remember that was going around Facebook, like the post-baby body? They were like, it was really like an art an artist, a photographer who's also an artist, took like pictures mm-hmm. of women's postpartum
bodies,
naked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that didn't, I mean, that was like, that had a very like pro body feel
right.
to it.
I think that maybe the difference is that Kim Kardashian isn't doing it to be like, here's my post baby body. You know, here's what having a child looks like, you know, and I don't know. I think it's just because she's an attention seeker. Mm. You know, she's looking for likes and comments and drama. I don't know her personally, so I don't know if that's what's happening, but that's my guess.
Either. Yeah.
Amy Poehler always says, good for you, not for me. Like she said that in her book. And I totally agree with that. Good for you,
good for
but
you,
just
not for me.
For me.
I have another friend who always says, that's a choice.
That's a choice. Yeah. Well, that's a choice.
That's a choice.
Is that so? How do you think you would navigate with your daughter, like growing up in such a celebrity obsessed culture in, you know, Orange County, even in LA?
I
like,
know.
How
don't
do you
think that's so?
Navigate?
Like, if I think about it as like an issue, I get a little bit overwhelmed, actually.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
Do you just teach them?
Which I was like, I think it's, you know, one thing that I always appreciate that my mom did, and she did not have like an amazing, but she had like, she was just a mom in the 70s or 80s, 90s. And she never, I never heard her talk down about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the first step. That's like something that's easy that I can do. It's hard, but it's easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because like, why do you think it's hard? Because we're so conditioned to be like, oh, I look gross, or oh, I look fat in these pants, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Always
we are
talking
so hard
about,
on ourselves as moms.
Yeah. And
and as women in general, like
in general,
not just moms.
In general. And so I always try to talk about, you know, your legs are strong, you know, or look what your body can do, like focusing on what she can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think that goes like setting an example. Like I try never to talk about my own body in a way that's denigrating or that's talking down to myself.
Yeah, totally. And that's hard to do because we want to, nobody wants to seem like they're bragging, like they're pulling a Kim Kardashian, you know, where they're like, I look amazing. But at the same time, you don't want to like tear yourself down. Like, I just want Chan to feel like, to feel comfortable in her skin, but also to be healthy.
Yeah.
Because one of the mistakes I made is when, because I used to be really athletic. I was in soccer and cheerleading all throughout high school and most of college. And then after I got married, I started like getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And I was like, I just didn't care. I've never really thought about it. I'm like, it's my body. Whatever. It is what it is. I can still move.
Yeah.
That's my level right there. I can still move. Which is terrible. But then after having Channing, it was so hard on my body. And the past couple of years, I've just have like no energy. I'm tired all the time. And I'm like, I have to, now I'm at a certain age where I have to start taking better care of myself, eating better and exercising.
Yeah.
And
are you allowed to, are you updating people on your,
on my,
your 15
my
15
by 15?
Or is that going to be a secret until
you're all
the way
done? I haven't
done
a reveal on like how much I've lost or anything like that. Cause I'm going to wait and to do that. But I will say it's been a lot harder than I thought in terms of at least the diet side of it. Mm-hmm. The exercise part has been a lot of fun and I'm totally enjoying that. I go whenever I don't have like a big workout to do, like I did Piloxing this last weekend.
Oh, fun.
And whenever I don't have something like that, I try to go to the gym on my off days. The diet portion is really hard. Like deciding to not eat a burger and fries, which I'm so used to doing, has been the biggest challenge of that. Like opting for something lighter. Like even sushi is not really that healthy if it has all the rice on it and the cream cheese like I want.
And the mayo.
right. Like so
and
even
like the
like,
crispies. Like I like the crispies.
Or
on
the
top.
Tempura shrimp one. Like I will so I'm good. The one that goes and gets the deep fried sushi.
Yeah.
So trying to find like healthier, lighter options and what to eat has been probably the hardest part. And I'm going to probably write something about that too as soon as I find time to write all of the million things that are in my head.
Right.
I have such a hard time writing. Do you keep up with your blog? I saw you have a little section on there where you write.
I do. Yeah. I write every couple weeks. And
good for you.
I've been able to keep up with every 2 weeks. But somebody was like, you know, you really should be writing every week. And I was like, you know,
I don't have time for that.
That's not going to happen.
I try. I set a goal for myself to write at least once or twice a week.
Good
and
for
I probably
you.
Do it about every couple of weeks.
Now, like, do you write like your own hard. Material or is this yeah. mostly for your... That's so great.
Yeah, no, I write everything that's on my blog. And sometimes I'll have guest bloggers who will want to write something. But it's hard to find the time to concentrate enough. If Channing's home, then every 5 seconds it's mommy can play. And I yeah. find that I need, yeah, when I'm writing, some dedicated time. Otherwise... And just all over the place, I can't focus, and then I'm questioning, like, does this make sense? And then I'm constantly, like, rewriting and editing and all of that.
Totally.
But it's a big challenge finding time to write. It's one thing to go to an audition real quick and then come back and, you know, mm-hmm. do your lines in the evening and whatnot, but sitting down and, like, writing for me is a lot bigger challenge.
Do you write, like, do you consider yourself a writer, like, of material, like, short comedy, like sketches or anything like that?
You know what?
That?
I used to write sketch all the time. Like, I found that, like, writing a sketch was super easy. It's 3 pages. I can write some wacky, you know, jokes and all of that. Like, that for me was pretty easy to do. But writing for a blog has been a lot more challenging because I'm, by nature, a really private person, mm-hmm. which I know is ridiculous saying that I have a podcast and I talk about my life every week. But if you notice, I don't really talk a whole lot about, like, personal things.
Yeah.
Because there's a little part of me that's still very private.
Do you feel like that's gotten, like, more extreme since you've had Channing or, like, or has it always kind of been there?
I've always been okay. super private. I'm with this podcast and my website, I have opened myself up way more now than I ever have before. So I'm starting to kind of, like, let people in and, like, share a little yeah. bit more. So when I sit down to write something, I have to decide how much do I want to share
yeah.
personally versus, like, you know, opinions on stuff. Cause I have a lot of opinions on things and people might be like, what the hell? Like, this girl is kind of a bitch. And I have to be like, sorry.
I love it. Yeah.
So it's this whole Motherhood and Hollywood thing is like a personal growth experience for
yeah.
me to try to balance my love of acting and my love of parenting and marry the two in some way.
Yeah.
So
I felt that way when I started my blog too, which
yeah.
was that it was just more of like a way for me to express ideas and thoughts mm-hmm. and in a way, and I'm a very private person too. Like, actually I looked forward to changing my name because
yeah.
it was just that much more level of separation. So it's been good. It's
yeah.
been kind of fun to let people in.
Do you think it's a little cathartic for you too? Like,
totally.
Just like, don't you think? Can vent.
For me anyways, I'm like, yes.
Let it out.
Yes.
So tell everybody really quickly how they can find you and where they can stalk you if
yeah.
they want more information.
Stalker options are, I have a website. It's just keikoelizabeth.com.
Mm-hmm.
I love Twitter. Twitter is my favorite. I'm not so much on Instagram. I never take pictures.
Yeah.
And so what would I post?
Right,
be,
right.
Like, so lame. So Twitter, Facebook is also, I have a Facebook page. But Twitter is probably the best way.
Twitter. All right. And I will put links to all of that, too, on
awesome.
Motherhood in Hollywood so people can find you. I'm so glad you came by.
Yay.
I'm so glad I got to get to know you a little
I know.
Bit better. This has been wonderful. It's so important, I think, for moms in this business to connect and stay together. And,
so important.
Because it's a different beast being a mom in this town. And
it is. I was surprised at how little there is. Like,
yeah.
you know.
There's no
or
like
resource wise.
Yeah,
or,
there's not like a babysitting company
yeah,
where
nothing.
For mom actors, which is so surprising to me.
I know.
I think that there
Somebody
are like
that.
Nanny companies, you know, that may be able to facilitate stuff like that. But I'm still looking. But in the meantime, it's great that you know, you have set up your own group mm-hmm. to like for women to moms to connect. And there's a couple of other groups on Facebook for parents
yes.
to connect. So it's we're slowly getting there. We're all realizing we need each other.
Yes.
And we're kind of coming together. So it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for your movie. So please keep
Thank
us
you.
Posted.
Thanks.
And that's it for this week, you guys, for Motherhood in Hollywood. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.